You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello, and welcome back to the Hot Mess Express that is the 90 Day Fiancé wrap-up, where every week we find out what's going on in the 90 Day Fiancé universe, and we bring it to you in a concise recap. I am your host and conductor, Puya Zanvakili, ready to break everything down in episode 16 of 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way. And as always, I am not here alone. This is not a solo mission. I've got someone here with me to break everything down. Please welcome back Sasha, who is back once again, one more time. Sasha, how are you doing?
Hi, everyone. I'm so happy to be here, finally, talking about the best show on TV, let's be honest.
Honestly, there's some snooze fests on TV, and this is not one of them.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I'm very excited. I will say, so right off the bat, I got completely fooled this week because I genuinely thought that only the re-premiere was 2 hours. I did not think this episode was also going to be an hour 40, but here we are. It was.
Yeah. I was like, wait a second. Like, I literally rewinded just to check the timestamp.
Yeah. I found myself being like, okay, let's see if you can pull it off. Because I have been vocal about the fact that I feel like Happily Ever After does not need that amount of time. And ultimately, my takeaways are that we could have probably done without this being an hour and a half. I feel like y'all need the show. Y'all need the minutes, like milk it weekly with 42 minutes. But it ended up being fun. I feel like there's quite a bit to talk about here.
Yeah, I agree. I was a little stressed because Jenny and Samit, my favorites, weren't on. So I was like, oh, what are they going to talk about? I was really sad. I was like, no, I get to be on the podcast, but I don't get to talk about my faves.
Well, how about this? How about you give your takes on them so far now before we start diving into this episode?
I just wanted to say that I'm so thankful that, you know, last week's episode had like, the first full segment was a bunch of them speaking Hindi, which I feel like we haven't gotten on reality TV really. Mm-hmm. The last time I can really remember Hindi like this is like the start of the first Iron Man movie. And they're supposed to be like, I think Afghani, and they're speaking Hindi. I don't know what's going on, but this was like, exactly. And it just felt so good. I mean, listen, like do I think that they're going to make it? Yes, 100%. Do I think that I was watching an Indian TV like show? Yes, because it really felt like it was so dramatic. Like Sumit really being like, do you not want me to be happy? Like, calm down, sir. Like, you're the one that made this decision. And like, now you need to like, you know, go through the right hoops and, you know, do all the right things so that parents are on board. Because you're with someone like, you know, twice your age. Like, calm down. But that's all. It's fine. We can move on.
outside of like Sumit dramatically falling down a flight of stairs, it did have all the makings of a Asian sitcom, not sitcom, a soap. Definitely.
Yes, exactly. And that's why I sent that clip to my mom and I was like, you need to watch this instead of the shows you're watching. And she just gets so mad when I send her anything about Sumit. Like, she's not a fan.
I can see why. I can definitely see why.
It's the best.
Yeah. So let's see. Where do we go from here? That's right. We'll talk about episode 16. Sasha, if you can do the honors and tell me which couple would you like to tackle first here?
So I was going back and forth, but I think maybe we just get Jihoon and Devon out of the way. Because, you know, I think we start with our only season one couple and we kind of just get through this. I felt like it was nice. It was a nice little snippet we saw of their life. I feel like they're playing house.
Yes.
And they're in a permanent apartment finally, so thank goodness, where we see that they've signed a year lease. Don't know if that year lasts, but we're rooting for you. And we really see Devin being happy. You know, she feels like she's comfortable, so comfortable that she got a whole puppy out of it. So that's interesting. And we really find them arguing about normal things like who has more clothes, which I feel like a lot of couples argue about. I know my husband and I are always arguing about space in the closet. So that was cute. I liked it, sure. But then we really see them stretching, and I feel like I'm watching Big Brother because we got a bidet segment, then we get a cleaning house segment. So I'm like, which show is this? And, you know, I hear it. Like, for the record, I do agree you should get a bidet and or get an extension. You don't have to pay, like, the whole toilet to get set up, whatever. Anyway, it was cute. You really see that Devin wants to stay because she wants her kids to have a dad, even though her mom thinks it's a mistake. And we're really seeing the aftermath of mom is leaving and now it really is us. And it ends with them wanting to plan a dream wedding. Mm-hmm. I don't know with whose money. Maybe 90 Day Fiance money. I don't know. But somehow, some way this is going to happen. And Jihoon really seems to have grown up. He's, you know, being supportive, saying, I just want to help, you know, with the wedding, whatever you want. It's really your day, blah, 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 blah. So, and, you know, they want Drusilla to be the flower girl, which I would pay money to watch this. Because can you imagine this little girl just throwing flowers everywhere instead of doing what she should do.
Now, I picture Drusilla dropping flowers, and then overshooting it and just running across a field. And then Jihoon has to go chase after her, and then everyone's losing their marbles over it. Definitely the sequel is happening.
Exactly.
Yeah. So here's the thing. We haven't seen them in a minute, and now we do. I've not done a deep dive on them, but I have seen bits and bobs on Reddit and such that people aren't happy with Devin. And I think their relationship has progressed probably beyond what the coverage is. Like, I think they're further away than what we, like, they're further, like, we're way more into the future in the present day than this. I assume we're going the way of Paula and Karini with them, honestly, because I feel like we're just not seeing them. Even though they were a big storyline in the first season they were on, they were a big storyline to start the season here. So the fact that it kind of is putting us where they seem like they're completely fine. Obviously, we're going to get some drama with them next week with the whole wedding setup. But I did love Bam Bam the puppy. That's a new addition.
Yes.
Love that. So I wanted to ask a clarifying question here. So she is washing their rug, and she says, if I was in America, I would have bought a rug, which does that mean she would have just thrown away the rug and bought a new rug?
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming, which, like, I understand. Like, we just bought a house, and, like, it's really annoying to clean rugs, like, unless you, like, send it off. But you're in Korea. You're not in Antarctica. Like, you can buy rugs. Like, I don't understand what she's saying.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because, like, for me, I was like, how old is this rug? Like, is this like you've been using it for a month and you're not fussed to clean it? Or this is a rug that's been hand-me-downed and it's been in storage for 4 years and it's gathered hella dust? That's different.
Yeah. I think it's a hand-me-down. It seems like, I mean, I just don't think they can afford anything. So that's why I think everything's a hand-me-down.
Yeah. Well, like, the good news is they have the new apartment that they've got. I'm very happy about that. I'm very happy about that. However, I'm worried for them, right? Because it sounds like she wants this dream wedding. He wants to give it to her. But then in the next week snippet, it's like, oh, it's going to be a 1 hour ceremony, which again, when you're thinking of a dream wedding, it goes on all night. I imagine that's the plan. Yes. It's a whole day. Yeah. It's not an hour. So that's worrisome. So here's the thing. Unlike Big Brother, I enjoyed this bidet segment, if not only because, the way Jihoon addresses it. And he's definitely using the wrong words for it, but I appreciated it all the same.
Oh my God.
Also, I hope no one's using paper towel. I hope he meant toilet paper, but that's fine. Okay. So that's pretty much it though. Like the closet thing was another thing that happened, and my favorite line was, I have more clothes because I'm a fashionista.
Yes.
I enjoyed that. A fashionista that's got wardrobe but works part time and doesn't have savings.
That's the influencer life, you know?
Yeah.
Also, honorable mention to Taeyong because I think he's just so cute. He looks like Jack-Jack from The Incredibles.
Yes.
And it's just so precious. So I just like, honestly, I was like, oh, right, let me watch the actual show. And I'm just looking at Taeyong eating or drinking, whatever he was doing out of that little pack. It was so cute.
And that's the thing. It's like Taeyong looks like Jack-Jack, but then Drusilla has Jack-Jack superpowers.
Yes.
Which are
yes.
like random. Oh, you're a monster one second. You're delightful the next. You never know.
Okay. Oh, my God. Yes. Why did I put that together? Yes.
Yeah, that works. Yeah, so here's the thing, team. That's it. That's all you get from Devin and Jihoon this week. That's all. Really, there's nothing else. Congratulations on the new apartment. They got a one-year lease in. So I hope that came in handy. We'll find out in the future. And then next week, we'll be tuning in to talk about their wedding plans and return of Jihoon's dad, which I'm very excited to
yes,
see him back again.
100%.
All right, let's talk about the next couple here. Let me just quickly look at my notes and see. The thing is, I think the other couples have bigger storylines in this episode altogether. So really, we'd be picking anybody and we'd be talking about them extensively. But it wouldn't be me if I didn't just try and get Cheese Stick and Melisa out of the way.
Yes, 100%.
As quickly as possible.
Please.
So, yeah. So last we saw them, Melisa had a held council with one of her friends and her brother about whether or not she should be telling Tim all the things that have happened, that she was seeing someone while they were on a break or while they were broken up. They said that they wouldn't really want to. So we got back to them and they have, after the whole time that he's been there, they finally decided to reconsummate the relationship. It's been a minute. They haven't. And then there was this weird back and forth with the producer guy in the background who was like, it started awkward, but it was amazing after. And the guy said, that's a compliment to the big guy, huh? And she was like, no, it was all me. And I just wanted to gouge my ears out. I was like,
yeah,
what is this? Like, are y'all flirting? Is this what is this? Like, why are you talking about it like this? Like, are you saying big guy because like he's a bigger guy, so it's a compliment to him because he wouldn't be good? Or like, I couldn't read what they were trying to say and I didn't want to, but I found myself kept having to.
Exactly. And that's where I was like, you know, who is this producer? Like, you know, this like random, probably white dude that's like, oh, you know, like the nudge. Like, yeah. Get out of here. That was so weird. Oh, that was like gross. And we didn't need that, producers. We didn't.
No, we really did not. But I mean, I feel like they just have to fill in the Tim and Maitlisa stuff with some fluff because truly probably the most boring couple I've seen in a long time.
Period.
Time.
Yes.
Yeah. Then what else happened here? So then the other things that happened, they went for a walk and with the dogs. And this is where Tim decides to sit down and have a serious conversation. And we've been getting little bits and snippets of Melisa wants to talk and open up about stuff that had happened because she's starting to feel close to him once more. But once he prompts the conversation, the way I read it is she got completely defensive and started kind of like playing in from defense, not really wanting to have the conversation. I feel like it was one of those things where because he prompted it, she didn't want to say anything because then it would feel like she was hiding it the whole time, right? Whereas her intentions were, I'm going to confess, but she didn't want it to seem like he got the confession out of her.
Yeah, and it was so interesting because I just have so many questions, but we can get to it after. But yeah, this whole, it felt like you could really see this like cartoony, like music playing in the background. Like that's how I saw it when they're like, just walking around and, you know, Tim is so happy, cheesing from ear to ear. Like, you know, you could tell the flowers smell brighter and, you know, the like days are just sunnier. Like it was all in, and then bam, just oops. So it was all bad. And no, I agree with you. She was not having any of it. Like, it was so hypocritical that I just wanted to like fast forward through it all.
Yeah, because here's the thing. I think that she's so I think she's reading it wrong. Because like here's the thing. He starts talking about this and he asks her a couple questions, you know. She asks if he's been serious with if he's seen other people. He says he's flirted here and there. And she gets mad about this. Who have you been flirting with? And I think the wrong thing for him to say was people in the office because I was like, dummy, you slept with someone from your office. This is the mistake. You don't say office. You say just like people here and there, nothing serious, like people in passing. that's it, move on. Because I think that, and I don't mean like he should have kept that from her, but knowing that this is going to upset her, you can't say, oh, it's no big deal, someone in the office, because automatically she's going to assume it's the same person, or you, that's just the thing you do. And like, given that your relationship's sensitive on this topic, I feel like now, whenever you go to work, that's a worry on her mind. So you don't want to make that a thing. You really don't.
No, I agree. I feel like this just came to me that we should start almost a segment of what we're like gifting these people, you know, each couple. And I think for Tim, my gift to you, sir, is, you know, the unlimited streams or downloads of Shaggy's It Wasn't Me. Because, sir, like, what is you doing? Like, he literally just walked right into it. Like, I already knew that where this was going. And he goes, coworkers, like, what, sir? Just like, oh, it killed me. It really did.
There's too much detail when he confesses.
Yes.
Like, confess, but you don't have to give her all the, like, cross all the I's, the T's and dot all the I's. Like, don't do that. And like, not again, it's not that he's hiding it. I just feel like it would be fine if he had just said flirting here and there, because she's getting mad now. And then he asks her if she's seen anybody, and she says she has, but then she tries to lock it up. She doesn't want to say, she's like, I don't want to speak on that. I don't want to answer that. I don't want to give details. And I think that it all comes down to the fact that she didn't want to, after she got mad at him, she didn't want to give him grounds to be like, well, what? Like, I didn't do anything as bad as what you did. I don't think she wanted that, right?
Exactly.
I was shocked that they had last been together a month ago. I was like, how long has Tim been there? Has it not been a month already? Probably longer.
Yes, that's exactly my question. I was like, the timeline does not add up. Or it could be this producer then, right? Because the producer probably went there a month ago. Conspiracy. But no, really. because I was like, what do you mean a month ago? She said, oh, you don't know him, which I thought was a super weird thing to say. Because I feel like I would only say that if you knew him.
Right. Yeah, I feel like it was one of those unprompted slip of the tongue. Oh, you don't know who it is. It's like, is that true? Are you going to confess? So I wish that she had the Tim confessions where she would do the same thing, because might as well put it all on the table. Because here's the thing. I don't agree with Tim cheating on her. I thought that was bad. He's definitely confessed it to every person that walks into his life. That's good, at least. But I do think that his intentions are pure, right? I do think that. And I think that it would make sense if Maylisa just tells him everything as well, and then they start anew. Because it's very clear that there's still some speed bumps here that are preventing them from being completely connected once more, like they used to be. And I think part of it has to do with the fact that she's not over what Tim did. And I think the other part of it from Tim's side is he feels like Maylisa hasn't completely forgiven him. And that's put them in this standstill.
Yeah. And honestly, what I do think the biggest hurdle for them is that Maylisa just isn't into him. Like, again, another gift. Like, you know, the book, He's Just Not That Into You.
Yes.
My aunt made me read that when I was in high school, you know, when I was starting to date. Like, hey, you know, it's important to understand your self-worth, blah, blah, blah. So that's also another gift for Tim, because, like, my God, I don't think she's into him. And that's why I think that there's all this hesitation, and there's this just like, I don't give two F's, like, to tell you. Because if you're a good partner, like, if you had sex, it's not even because of, like, oh, I messed up. It's also like, I hope you use protection, because you're now putting Tim at risk, right? And the same for Tim when he messed up. But, like, you know, it's like STDs are an issue. There's so many other things, not just like the cheating part of it. That's why I think Tim was also asking questions, because he's like, yo, like, do I need to be afraid? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I feel like that's the thing. Like, give the full disclosure. Both of y'all are in a position where you're trying to work on this. Put everything on the table and move and grow together. Like, playing this, like, game of defense and, oh, I'm going to give you a little bit of info, but not all of it. Oh, ooh, I'm not going to answer this because now you prompted it. Like, enough with the games. You both are clearly in a place where you either need to commit or move on. And there's no one or two ways about it, given how complicated the whole relationship is. And, like, I feel like Maylisa should understand that Melissa, literally everyone in your life is rooting against this relationship. So either you say, I don't care about what you guys think, and you commit 100, or you give into what they're saying, because this limbo thing is going to ruin them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think it has. Like, I really, in my heart, believe that she's over him. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're getting this, like, she's basically parading him for an apology tour. Now it seems like she's about to start this apology tour. Like, mm-hmm. it's so strange. And that's where the conversation with the mom got really frustrating for me, too, because it just seemed like the mom is like, no, just break up. Just break up.
Yeah.
Just break up.
Mom's like, it's over. Yeah. Like, for me, I think that them having sex was her way of being like, is the spark still there? Do we still have the magic we used to? And I think that it seems like it kind of was there. And I think it's starting to confuse her a little bit, because mm-hmm. I feel a little bit more like maybe there is some interest there, whereas I didn't think so before. She said she's not ready to say I love you back to him. She says that she doesn't see them as in love as before. Like, that's what the mom said, actually. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot more soul searching that needs to be done here. And I think that what she may have thought were the solutions of you move here and commit to me, and let's see if we are physically still there together, have given back not clear answers. And that's frustrating to her. I think ultimately this just might be a thing, Sasha, where she can't get over what happened. She just can't.
Yes. Yeah. 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 I agree. And that's where, like, I literally, the last of my notes literally said, like, shit or get off the pot. Because at this point, like, you know, like, I need you to decide, because because she's literally like saying, oh, we were broken up. So, and mom is obviously egging this on, where we were broken up. So it's fine what I did, but I'm not over what he did. And I'm so mad because I don't want to be on Tim's side. I really don't.
Never.
Ooh. But it's like, how are you going to make this man move all the way to Colombia, mm-hmm. you know, and then saying, oh, actually, this was a trial, and then get mad at him for still keeping his job.
Like, yes.
You can't come at him from every side and then be like, no, it's my way. It's like, what is your way? You don't even know. She also needs therapy. That's another thing.
Yeah. Like, I think for me, it all comes down to this one thing. And the fact of the matter is, I do agree with her that Tim cheating on her and her being with someone while they're in a limbo or broken up aren't necessarily the same thing.
No,
but I disagree with her where he has no right to be upset about it.
Exactly.
He absolutely does. Like, and I think that's my biggest beef with all of that. Ultimately here, we're left with, I think there's not much else to dig for here. Basically, he talks to his therapist about the problems, and he talks about how he felt blindsided and upset by what happened. And he says this changes things. Now, what that changes with them, I don't know. We'll have to see. I don't recall seeing anything in the next time on about them. So mm-hmm. I have a feeling that next week is their bye week, and we're not.
Oh,
gonna
thank God. Yes. Yeah. We get a break. We love it.
Yeah, I'm very, very okay with that arrangement.
Yes.
All right. So then let's move on. Where would you like to move on to, though?
Yeah, I think now we're getting to our big names, I feel. Mm-hmm. So I think we can go to Armando and Kenny, because I think the other two are a little bit more, like, there's a little more layers to it.
That's true.
Yeah, great. So we see Armando and Kenny. I feel like we're, you know, meeting them in the aftermath. Like, you know, it's almost this hangover of everything that happened from the night before. Mm-hmm. So everyone's obviously still shocked. And Armando, rightfully so, I think is sad, and he's stressed about his relationship. He's also understanding that I need to tell Hannah, which... oh, it was so sweet. Where I love the kids in this, everyone's kids in this episode. But so he's realizing, hey, I need to like have this conversation with Hannah. I need to tell her that we're engaged. And it was just such a beautiful moment where Kenny and Armando picked the kids up from school. Like, they're carpooling. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I loved it so much. I think it was just like a piece of normal in all of this craziness. But you see that he has this really beautiful moment where he tells Hannah, Armando does, that, you know, we're engaged, and, you know, Hannah isn't really sure what that means. But when she when she gets explained, hey, here's what this means, she's just so happy. He tells her what the ring is, and Hannah says, I'm just thankful, you know, to have double the love. And I felt like I was so close to tears because literally I was like, this is it. I don't need anything else. Like, this is beautiful because kids, I really feel like, have no hate in their hearts. Like, it was so beautiful how she was like, I'm just thankful we're all a family again. And I think Armando needed that. I think he needed this like positive reaction, because of, you know, just everything else going on. And she just, you know, Hannah, rightfully so, as any kid just wants, continuous like life, right? She doesn't want these breaks. And I think that's what's beautiful is that she's finally getting that. And then also sidebar, but did you see the commercial break about the cat or, yeah, dog ears or cat ears? I don't know if you saw it, but it's so funny.
I did not, because I don't watch it on TLC. I watch it later.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. So there's a moment where Truffles, Kenny's dog, is getting a bath at the pet hotel, and it's a confessional segment where, you know, they're talking about the dog and how cute the dog is. And I'm like, okay, let me fast forward. Thank God I didn't, because Kenny goes, yeah, the dog is closer to Armando than I am in age. And then he goes, but in dog years, she's, you know, 90. So Armando goes, yeah, closer to Kenny's age. So I'm just thankful that we got this moment to like just joke, and I'm glad they're joking about their relationship too.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I feel like there's a lot of hurt in their relationship, and not towards one another. I think they're truly probably the most wholesome of the couples on this whole cast. However, with their surroundings, with the fact that Armando's entire family seems like they need to become more accepting of the situation. They're trying, which I will give them. Even the dad is trying. I don't think anyone's being hateful towards him, which is great. They're just having a hard time to adapt, and I can see how much it's hurting Armando. I can see how much it's hurting Kenny. But Hannah truly made everything with them this week worth it. Hannah being loving and accepting of her dad and Kenny being together makes me really happy. Really, really happy. Like, I full on put a less than 3 in my notes because I'm soft. I really love that scene. And then the scene with the mom. So to me, it's interesting because I think that his mom supports him fully. Yeah. However, I don't think his mom is ready to support him fully publicly. At all. Like, she, you know, talked about a small ceremony for the wedding. She brought up the whole, I wish you hadn't said you were engaged in front of other people. I wanted to know first, which I didn't take as like, I wanted to be the first person you told. It was more like, I needed the time to diffuse the situation.
Yeah, which I actually agreed with. Like, given these circumstances, like, I hear where she's coming from.
Yeah.
And I'm not like, I get it. And I think that wedding piece was, again, so beautiful where, you know, you could really see Armando almost gaining a lot of confidence. And I think it is because of his love for his child and Kenny that I think he's like finally feeling like, no, like, I have all this love. Like, I need this. And I want to like stake my boundaries almost. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah. And you see the mom really struggling, but then thankfully she does end with like, I'll support you. If you want a big wedding, I'll be there. But I'm not sure about dad.
Yeah. And I think that the dad, obviously, he's in a different place with all this. He comes back. He comes out to hug Armando goodbye before they leave, which I loved. Gives Kenny the old firm dad handshake, which is lovely. I think he might come around at some point. But I also do think that the mom is kind of in a position where she's like, I don't know about your dad, though. Like, I think the mom hasn't fully accepted it either.
Exactly. Yes.
And like, using the dad as a bit of an anchor of like, hey, talk to your father. It's not on me. Like, it's one of those like, oh, go ask your dad. If your dad says yes, then I'm in, which is like, I'm 70% in, but I don't want to give you the complete support. Let your dad also co-sign before I do that. So I do think that that's unfortunate. But again, I think ultimately this trip didn't end up being as great as Kenny and Armando were hoping, but they got Hannah's full support, which is lovely. Hannah's so excited to leave with them that she doesn't even talk about wanting to come back. I did feel bad for the family though, Sasha, mm-hmm. that they were so sad. They really are going to miss Hannah.
Yeah. And that's also, yeah, what I wrote. It was that, like, I think it's a grief, right? Grief is really interesting where in this moment you can really see, the grandma, right? Armando's mom really leaning into, like, this is also my child, right? Like, Hannah, and I see that she's leaving and Armando's leaving. And it's not just Armando leaving, but Armando's leaving and I have to now be okay with this new reality. And I think there's also grief in that, where I don't think she's, right, like, come to, because I think if Armando was leaving with a woman, I wonder if it would have been a little different, the grief, where I think it would still be hard, but I think it would be a little like, but he's moving on to a better life. I think it would be more that way.
Yeah, I think it would have been different. I mm-hmm. do agree with you there. I hadn't thought about that, but definitely it's like they look at it as a double loss instead of a single loss, right? They're like, oh, we lost Hannah, but this is, we lost Hannah and we lost Armando to a man, mm-hmm. right? So I need them to come around on this. I think they'll come around on this. I hope they come around on this. But just the fact that they've been at least supportive on the surface, that's good for right now until they come around fully.
yeah, exactly. And I think that's, it also comes up like in the next week's episode, but we really see, which I thought was a beautiful moment where Armando's mom and sister were able to say, like, we know that, you know, you're going to be a good dad because, you know, like, you've raised three girls already. So we know that you're able to do that. And, like, we trust and support you in that moment, which I think it's hard. I can't imagine, right, like, sending, which is what Ji-hoon and Devin's situation, where Alicia, Devin's mom, is not feeling safe, leaving Drusilla with Ji-hoon. Mm-hmm. But here you see the exact opposite, where you're like, you know, you're older, you really, like, see it, how this is supposed to happen. But I do think that this is going to be a big problem because Kenny is a white man raising a, you know, Latina or Latinx child, and he doesn't speak Spanish. And we hope that, you know, this intersectional moment, like, is okay and it works out for them.
Yes, I hope so, too. I think at some point he's going to have to learn the language in order to help raise Hannah, because mm-hmm. the next time on scene has to do with Armando talking about how he's never had to get parenting tips from anybody or, like, have his parenting judged. And I think it's extra hard for the two of them because in order for Kenny to help and contribute, he's going to have to get the translations from Armando and then criticize Armando right after,
yeah.
which is going to be a big problem.
Oh my God. I would be frustrated if, you know, someone, where like, emotional labor piece, right? I think Armando mm-hmm. has to be a husband and a parent. Mm-hmm. And not only that, he has to basically be also a translator. So there's almost mm-hmm. three roles he's serving. Whereas Kenny, you know, for good and bad, gets to be that, like, fun moment where Hannah doesn't really understand, maybe necessarily. I don't know how good her English is, but it doesn't seem like Hannah will necessarily understand what Kenny's telling Armando to tell Hannah. So to me, it's also going to set up this good cop, bad cop situation, which just isn't good to have with parents anyway, where, you know, they need to be a united front. And I wonder if Kenny's now going to be seen as, like, the happy, you know, like, hugging that, you know, that parent. And then, unfortunately, Armando has to be the kind of, like, taking on that emotional labor of being the, like, you know, the rule setter.
Yeah. And I do think that ultimately the move is for Kenny to learn Spanish. Mm-hmm. I imagine that Hannah will also by proxy learn English.
Yeah.
But given that they live where Spanish is the main language, he has to learn it. And I think he will. But then ultimately for me, I think they're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. I just think that I feel like some of the little mannerisms from Kenny that we've seen, Kenny is a little bit more not controlling, but he kind of sees the way things need to be. And he has more of a, he's more okay with enforcing it or trying to enforce what he thinks is right than I think Armando would. So the fact that Armando already is like, oh, you're like, he's not looking like he's liking what he's hearing. That might be a bit of a power struggle, especially because I could very well see us seeing a scene where if we're seeing Kenny and Armando be in a very 90-day fiancé moment where they're fighting about something, I could totally see Armando saying something like, but she's my baby. She's my
daughter. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. So if we go full 90-day and full chaos, full Hot Mess Express, that line's going to come out and then there's going to be more drama that ensues. Ultimately, I don't think this is the couple that is going to give us that kind of vibes.
No.
We'll have to keep an eye out.
Yeah. I think they're like, again, like really grown up, and I think they have talked through and thought through a lot of their relationship. I think because they have no choice. They're two gay men living in Mexico. And that seems to be a big pressure point anyway. So their circumstances have made sure that they have that conversation.
Yeah. I want to say I'm very much looking forward to, we didn't see that preview for next episode, which I know that means we're not going to see it in the next episode, but when they're at that office and they are told they're denied, they're going to get a negative answer. I want to find out what exactly is going on there. My favorite moment of the next time on was when Hannah negotiates with her dad. Yeah. It's like, so do you want to buy me a purse or shaved ice? What are you doing here? What's your decision?
Oh, God. Oh, my mom would have, I think, bought both and then, like, you know, either rip the purse or, you know, drop the shaved ice. Like, be like, I do not negotiate with terrorists. Like, I think that's what would have happened for me.
I can't imagine giving my mom an ultimatum like,
oh my God.
I feel like she'd be like, what do you like? And I'd be like, I like these two. And then she can break the tie if she was going to get me something. But I could never be like, hey, so you're getting me one of these two items. Which is it going to be? That's your choice. I'm going to give you the privilege. Like, no
like,
way.
Can you imagine? I still shiver thinking if I would ever have the like chutzpah to do that to my mom.
Yeah, I feel like with my parents, they would have probably buckled and done it, but I never had the mentality that I could pull that off. So I never thought to be that way ever. Man, yeah, what a ride. Well, that was fun. I enjoyed seeing Hannah do that.
I'm
not looking forward to them arguing, but hopefully it's not too big.
I know. Hopefully Armando seemed to kind of yada yada him, like be like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like yeah. When Kenny was like, you're gonna let her do that.
So then the question is, if Armando doesn't really mind Kenny doing this stuff but also low-key doesn't listen, is this where Kenny gets mad at him? Maybe.
Yeah, it's Kenny was rolling his eyes a little bit. You could see him being like, what? No.
He doesn't have time for nonsense, Sasha. Yes. Kenny is a man who knows what he likes, knows what he wants, and if it doesn't go that way, he's a little bit irritated because he's like, I see the clear and logical path. Why isn't the path going that way?
You know, he's a little like, I mean, no knock to Kenny, I love him, but like, you know, that like old man curmudgeon-y like behavior, like that's where he's moving toward a little.
I was that because again, Kenny does not, I forget how old he is every time. Like,
yes,
does not, like, oh my God, he's like a fine wine. This man has aged.
Yeah, Kenny needs to gift us his like skin routine.
Yes, gift us the skincare routine, gift us the wisdom.
Please.
Okay, so I think that about wraps up Kenny and Armando. Now the question is, do we talk about Ari and Binium next, or do we talk about Brittany and Yazan next? I feel like before we go on to the next couple, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. And we're back. One of them is shorter, so I would go with them. Let's leave the episode with Ari and Binium at the end because they were probably the big stars of this episode.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Brittany and Yaz. Okay. So these segments, especially the Yazan segment, was short, but I'm very interested to unpack this because I feel a shift in my feelings towards these two. And not in a way I ever thought possible. So we come back in to them and their storyline. We come back with the divorce didn't come through. And Brittany has been in the U.S. for 3 weeks. She visits her sister, I believe. And
yeah,
she tells her sister, yeah, they basically want me to convert. And the sister's like, well, that's never going to happen. Like, she's in a confession. Like, that's never going to happen. Brittany is not that type of girl. There's no way. And then when we go to Yazan, we find out that Yazan's been going through some shit. Like, straight, I can't even, like, censor myself. Like, it is brutal what I'm hearing about Yazan. Because here's the thing. Before this episode, my whole thing was, y'all aren't built for each other. You need her to convert. She's never going to convert. Y'all need to move on. The problem is, all the information wasn't on the table. Because Brittany has made it seem like, hey, I might convert. Hey, I'm going to marry you. So he is committing full 100%. And this is where we're seeing the downfall of Yazan in his social life, in his personal life, in his family life. Like, he is losing everything for Brittany. Everything, yeah. Sasha.
And that's where I was struggling because I don't agree with you. I still don't like believe that this is real. Maybe I think Yazan maybe has had a good character arc, right? Where he went from like, oh, we're scared for Brittany to now we're being like, she's using you, bro. Because he says the thing about she wants me to pay for the flights, I think, and tickets, whatever. So that's why I really feel for Yazan, and I think he's in it, but he's in it still with an asterisk that she needs to convert and she needs to do all that, which I'm not against. I think he was honest about that from the start. I think Brittany, you know, just wants to be on a reality show. Like, she's clout me, period. And that's all she does. And she just wants clout. And I can't, like, it's so sus. Like, that's what I think about Brittany.
Oh, that's my complete beef with it, honestly, is that I thought that, I mean, I've met people like Yazan who have expectations, who their families have expectations of conversion and following the traditions strictly, and if you're gonna marry someone from like a different religion, they have to like abide by our like side of things. I've definitely seen and heard all of that, so that's why I was like, you guys are not built for each other, because that's never gonna work. But my problem is that at least he was forthcoming, right? At least
exactly.
I think it was unreasonable of him to ask some of those things to Brittany about Brittany, but he was honest from the jump. And Brittany's done everything but tell the truth, pretty much, which I don't appreciate. And I 100% agree with you. She's in this for the clout. She's in this for the publicity. There was never going to be a thing, which I'm fine with. Get your money, make your bank. That's fine. These TV shows are there for a reason. However, I low key, I don't know how serious the Yazan stuff is. I genuinely do think he's in big trouble here, because I think that I don't think he's lying about losing his job. I don't think he's lying about his family not being happy. When he talks about how one of his uncles sent her social media to his dad, I believe that. I have had friends who have gotten in trouble with their parents because of their social media posts being given to the family through like A, B, or C source.
Oh, yes. Sources. People like, on limited profile for a reason.
Oh my God. Even to this day, I have some family members. I'm like, you don't need to see what I'm up to. Like, that's none of your business. Like,
exactly. Oh yeah. My God.
And like the first time I had you on, Sasha, you talked about what would the family think? You know, that whole line that Asian parents love to throw at us. And this is no different. And the minute they show us the bikini pictures with Brittany, I'm like, hey, zero problems with it on my end. But thinking about this super conservative family who wants her to convert, yeah, they're not going to be happy with this. So now their whole thing is, no, you're not doing this. Leave her. And he holds his ground. He tells us this is his story. So not 100% confirmed, but what he's saying is, his dad said, well, if you want to go marry her, then you don't need to work. Go marry her. Fires him, kicks him out. He sleeps at his uncle's place the first night. Then he's homeless for a couple nights until he gets his apartment. He's looking for work now. He's super lonely. Brittany is not even communicating with him daily. It's a hot, hot, hot mess that Yazan finds himself in right now.
Yeah, this is where it's like literally Kanye West, like gold digger, right? Like you down and out and she gone.
Yeah.
Like that's how I feel. And I don't know, like, you know, what Brittany's thinking. I think she'll come on and she'll do that creepy smile and tell us something about, I just wasn't feeling comfortable telling Yazan and I didn't want to, you know, slip up and lie more. So I ignored him. That's how she talks.
Oh, that's 100% what it is. I think it's a out of sight, out of mind. If I don't message him, he will never know. Technically, that's the way to do it. And honestly, even with her sister and with her mom, she keeps trying to veil it as they're forcing me to do things that I don't want. They're putting pressure on me and it's unfair to me. And it's like, yes, this is true, but also tell your parents that you have been walking it along like, oh, I'm considering it. Tell your parents that you wore the hijab to like be like, oh, I see Yazan, I'm into it, I might do it. Like you're stringing the family along. So obviously they have expectations now because you didn't say from the jump it's not happening.
Yeah, so, and here's the thing. Why didn't Britney go on Love and Hip Hop Miami? That's my question. Because I'm like, it's so bad to like literally sit here and drag this man along, because they had a whole segment, Puya, about, you know, her like learning about like, you know, prayers and how to wash your face and blah, blah, blah. And then how, like, to me, I'm just, it's crazy how she's so hypocritical and putting it all on him, because I think it's not just him. This is his expectations. Like, sure, as you know, people that live in America, maybe we don't agree with it, like for our own personal life, but that doesn't mean it's not valid. And if that's not for you, then let him know, so he's not spending nights out here on these streets.
Right. And like, honestly, here's the thing. I come from a Muslim background, a Muslim family. I don't share the same opinions as Yazan does. Mm-hmm. I would not, like, for me, it's never been a, hey, you need to do what I'm doing, or you need to do, like, everyone is an individual and they make their decisions solo. And whether I agree to live with it or not, like to agree to accept it, that's on me. But I'm not going to control anybody else's life. That's not me. So I'm not by any means being like, she should do it and like blah, blah, blah. What I'm saying is that she is stringing him along and lying about doing it.
Exactly. Like,
don't do it. I'm with you. Don't do it. It's not you. You want to have a rap career. You're doing your own thing. You're doing your hustle. That's fine. Completely fine. But have some sympathy for the poor guy, because you've made me start having sympathy for him and I don't like you for it. I'm unhappy about that. I didn't like Yazan.
Right. And that's it. Also, sidebar, but like, why can't he stay with his friend Muhammad at this point, or stay with the producers? Like, why this man on the street? Like, I'm stressed.
How come we don't have footage from those two days? Like, why wasn't a producer there with a camera? Couldn't they have bought him a sandwich? Like, I feel like there's some nonsense there. Like, maybe it was like he was homeless for 12 hours and got an apartment or whatever. But
yeah. Yeah. And deduct it from Britney's bill, right? Like, no one's saying, TLC, you need to be out of money, but like, deduct it from Britney's bill, because you know Britney's not giving Yazan the money. So right. So TLC, come on, do something for this poor dude. He out here on these streets. Oh my God, I was stressed. But then he also had this like really nice leather jacket on, which was sus.
Hey, he's a fashionista like, like Jihoon, okay? He's got to rock the swag, even. If you're homeless, be homeless chic. Be homeless premium. Don't be homeless basic.
Yeah, no. He's swaggy H. Swaggy homeless.
The H stands for homeless. So, or the H stands for haram if she doesn't.
Oh, convert. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. So, double problems. But honestly, I'm like fascinated with where they're going to end up next, because we've seen previews where like they're talking about, oh, they're going to kill him. I think either his dad or his uncle has a line where they're like, I'm going to be his murderer, which is just ridiculous. Like, talk about an Asian soap. Like, that's full drama right there.
Yes. But you know that's how these people are. Like, it's just because I'm sure you know folks that are like this. I know people that are like, oh, if it's not my way. Like, I mean, unfortunately, in India, like, these do end up happening. And where, you know, if it's like you don't listen to the parents, like, some bad things do happen to you.
I mean, look no further than Sumit, who is 30-something
at this point.
And still has to answer to his two parents when he wants to be with someone. Still has to get their blessing to do A, B, C, and D. And blessing is probably the wrong word to use here, because I feel like everyone, no matter what their background, will try and get the blessing of their parents to do things. But he literally cannot operate without getting that first, without getting that green light to go ahead and do stuff. And like with tight-knit families like this, where you're pretty much staying with the family all the way until you're married, they run your life whether you like it or not. Like, it's pretty rough to get out of it. So by him, and like, I think the other thing is him also, like, let's think about it from the parents' perspective. Like, let's play devil's advocate here. This whole time that Yazan's been with them, he's been like following the religion, following the code, following their guidelines. And now all of a sudden is like walking in the opposite direction. Right.
Yeah.
And to them, it's like, wow, you lied to us. You were bluffing this whole time. And now that someone's come along, you've decided to drop everything you said you did. You're not practicing what you were preaching. So the parents feel a betrayal. So that's a problem. This whole thing is so complex top to bottom to me. And all I want is for everyone to be happy. And I feel like no one's going to be happy. And I feel like I'm just going to be frustrated with these two continuously on and on and on. The only difference is now I have like a sliver of sympathy for one of them. And I didn't expect it to be Yazan, but here we are.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. This is the same for all the men on this show, but really for Yazan and Sumit, I think more than anyone else, where it's like, why are you falling in love with people when you know this is how your family is? Because, you know, and like, maybe I'm just a pessimist, but like, I know that love, blah, 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 it's rosy, you can't help it, but like, you can.
Wow. You like, blah, blah, blahing love, Sasha? What is
Yeah, that? I really am, because I don't have time for this. Like, how are you going to put, you know, all these people, listen, I think Brittany and Yazan is a little different, actually, where like, I think Brittany is also in it for the clout, so I think this is mutually beneficial, but if your parents don't like this, why are you falling in love with people that you shouldn't be?
If you're not willing to fully commit to being against your parents, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Because I think it's killing him inside to be going against the grain like this. I don't think he wants to do it like this, but he's just in this weird bubble. And we'll see what happens with them. We do see in the next time on that they're going to be on like this phone call. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, you need to do this, and hangs up on her. Which I don't think is unfair given what he's going through.
Right.
And I think my biggest problem here, Sasha, is that I think that I would understand where Brittany's coming from, but I can tell Brittany's trying to deceive me. You know, I can tell Brittany's trying, because she's deceiving everyone around her by making it seem like it's completely one-sided unfairness. So that's why I'm like, I can't root for you. But
no, refuse. No, we're not doing this, Brittany. And the joke is that she's in a bikini. Again, I don't care what she wears. I just think it's so funny that, like, she's in a bikini and they're arguing about that. Like, her outfits and her clothing choice that she posts online. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, you can't go down that rabbit hole with Brittany, because she lying. She just needs the clout.
Yeah, and you know what? I think she's gotten it. And we'll see where I'm very excited for the tell-all for the other way. I'm very excited for the tell-all for a bunch of these couples, especially for these two and where they're going. I think out of all the couples here, I'm most excited to see what happens with them right now.
Yeah. And I hope that the person that hosts the tell-all is someone like an actual fan of the show, because I need them to like go in a little on these people.
It's going
to
be Sean. It's always Sean. Oh, it is?
Okay, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming. Right. I'm not a big fan, right. But yeah. So then last couple of the, I was about to say day, evening, last couple of the podcast here, we're going to talk about Ari and Biniam. Would you like to do the honors here and take it away?
Yeah, I'm happy to. So we see, we're really thrown into the drama here, where it's time for the C-section. And you really see like Ari being like, wait, this is really happening? Is it? Is it not? Is it? Is it not? Mm-hmm. So you're really on this like roller coaster with her. But I also appreciate that she still has none of his nonsense, because you see baby as in grown up baby, being really annoying, if I'm being honest, about like, are you scared? Are you scared? And he's tapping her head. Like, I would be like, excuse me, like, of course I'm scared. And thankfully she's in a foreign country, no family, no friends, nothing. And baby, aka Mr. Not Reading the Room at all, admits that he isn't ready for the baby. So it's been 9 months and they're still not ready. So like, when were they going to be ready is my question. Because one, this is not his first child. He's been through the rodeo before. So I really don't understand what this man is saying. And then, and he also says something really awful. Like, he hopes that the baby doesn't, like, basically that there aren't any complications. And then the big thing, I feel like, is that he's talking about culture and how he doesn't, in his culture, allegedly, he believes that, you know, to have a baby via C-section is not as good because when you have the baby naturally, the love is stronger because the mom struggled more. So just bear with me one second, please. Because I had a conversation with my friend yesterday who is Ethiopian. Happy birthday, okay, by the way. It's her birthday today. And I was like, can you like walk me through this a little? Because I'm about to go in on this man, but I need the cultural context before I do. Because, you know, I'm mean, but I want to be woke also. So it seems that, yes, that unfortunately some families are this patriarchal where, you know, it's really, they've bought into this idea of like what women should do and what women need to be. Mm-hmm. Now, with that being said, who does this man think he is that he's saying all of these things? Because it's disrespectful and it's actually just untrue because your body is like, it actually takes longer to heal after a C-section. So girl, bye. Anyway, and then Ari's now, you know, breaking down in the room. It's time for her anesthesia, which usually they do give you a spinal anesthesia because I think then you're up, but like you're just, what's the word? Like you can't feel anything, which is what we saw in Devin from last season where she was up and talking, but, you know, she couldn't obviously feel her stomach being cut. But she's just, you know, so in distress and she's not really giving them consent, which is why they were saying, can you say okay? Can you say okay? Right. And they just had to give her general anesthesia where now she's completely knocked out and wasn't, you know, part of any of the birth. And I don't know if you saw, but she moved her hand while the needle was going in and that really stressed me out.
Yeah, same.
I was like, no, stop. What are you doing? And then thankfully everything mostly goes well. The baby's out. You see Binyam, whatever, in way in the back. Like he's basically in the other room, I feel at this point. He's like sitting there clutching his necklace. I think he's praying. And Simba, that's what they decide to name the baby, or name, nickname, whatever.
Nickname the baby.
Nickname. Yeah. Is not crying. So that, you know, there was a little like complications, but thankfully all the doctors did all the right things and the baby's good to go. And it looks like the baby's here. And they're, you know, he immediately starts taking pictures before I think he even like holds the baby, but that could be editing. I don't know. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. And then they have a really nice, then Binny calls Janice, thankfully. And, you know, they have a beautiful moment. And I really felt like Ari matured in this moment where I felt like she said, it's just you and me, baby. Which foreshadowing, I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah.
and then, you know, she's already hoping her parents are coming back. Like mom just left, but like, let's go back. Mm-hmm. And then another frustrating moment was where his baby's family comes in and they start talking about baptizing. And I was like, this woman is still on drugs.
Like, are y'all serious?
Like, this, she had no clothes on. And this is what they say? Like, come on. And it was just, it was really hard again to watch because it's so like frustrating to see these, you know, again, it's baggage from the old, relationship, which comes up again when they go shopping for the two most basic things, like a tub and a bed. And again, they're just all of this, you know, stress about their old about baby's old relationship mm-hmm. is now coming back onto Ari, which I don't think it's fair. And I don't think after she moved to Ethiopia, had the baby for you in Ethiopia, that you're now, you know, again, being like, well, I don't think Ari will like this. And it's like, one, I want to know why they think the quality in America is better on account that most of our goods are made in China. So it's not American goods, first. And then secondly, yeah, they have this a lot of back and forth about now what the baby's name is going to be. Is it going to be Gabriel versus Aviel? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Like, here we are. And I felt so sad for Ari because she's at such a disadvantage in many ways, but like physical being the first.
Right. I do think so. For me, this whole, first of all, when we got to like the baby delivery segments, I stopped watching. I had it on and I was like kind of like had it in my periphery, but I was just typing my thoughts. Cause I was like, I can't watch unless if something graphic comes up. I do think that Binyam has horrible bedside manner. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like she's like, are you scared? He should be like, no. We're going to be okay. He said, he's scared. And he says, I don't want the baby to be dead, which is, good concern. Maybe don't tell it to your wife as she's going under to like deliver this baby. Okay. How about that? The whole traditional thing with the natural delivery versus it's like, I understand tradition, but also I'm like, you're not delivering. You don't really get an opinion.
Exactly.
And then second of all, you think she wanted it this way? She literally had no choice. She literally was told she has no choice. So you can't like act any type of way about it. It is what happened, you know? What's it called? I'm glad that she was able to, I'm glad the baby's born. Binyam being happy makes me happy. Mm-hmm. I do think that he's going to have a lot of insecurities in this marriage relationship, in this parenthood because of his first relationship. And they keep bringing it back to that, which I imagine is going to have problems. I didn't like that the other family immediately wants to talk about like what religion mm-hmm. the baby's going to be. It's very clear that Ari's not going to just, you know, be okay with that decision being made for her. We've seen a preview, not this week, but one of the overarching previews mm-hmm. where the two families are going to meet and have a discussion, which I'm very excited for. That's going to be juicy.
Yes.
Very juicy.
Juicy. Haha.
Yeah. No, I'm just ultimately kidding. I kind of understand Ari's Binyam's concerns about what to purchase because we go back to the apartment standards, the car standards. So even though I agree with you that like it's not like the products here are groundbreakingly different, it's just Ari's made it seem like they are. So he's worried ultimately mm-hmm. about all of this. I thought my only concern with the bed and bath stuff they got is that I do also think the straps looked flimsy. I would not want to use the straps if I were them while carrying baby.
Yeah. No. I agree with you. And one, there are malls in Ethiopia, like in Addis Ababa, which is like the biggest, one of the big cities. Like, mm-hmm. what do you mean? Like, you can't go to a mall. I'm assuming it might be a money problem and that's why. But probably. Then they start to haggle, you see, with the baby price, with the baby, like, items.
And they were firm on the prices both times.
Well, you know why? Probably because there's a camera crew Absolutely. And white people following you around. I'm not going to haggle with you.
Yeah, you got a crew behind you? Yeah, I'm going to rip you off and you're going to be okay with it.
Exactly. When I went wedding shopping in India, like, my stepdad literally made us all, like, walk away after we were done picking out the clothes because he was like, no, like if you are around, you're going to make it so obvious that you want these clothes and then they're not going to haggle with us. Yep. And they're like, don't speak English because you have an American accent. Yes. Like, get out of here. Like, no. So I
never.
You
never hint that you are, you know, a different language, especially English. And you got to pretend like you're from the area because then they won't try and swindle. If you act like you are from you're visiting, you're a tourist, you're from abroad, anything like that, the prices be going up a little bit. Yeah, gotta be there.
I know. Everyone needs my stepdad in their life because he will they'll basically pay you to leave the store. Like, that's how good he is at haggling. So it's just so I really felt for them in that situation because I think that if it was just them two, like baby and his sister, I think they would have got it for cheaper, but not with the whole TLC camera crew.
Yeah, no, not at all. And like, I feel like maybe I would hope that they're getting paid, you know, to get these things or being paid the difference, because that is unfortunate where you are in a position where you're going to have to overpay probably for items. But on the I think the items bought were fine. Mm-hmm. I think that the whole baby name and baby's upbringing, like the religion stuff, is going to be a big issue with them.
Yes.
I do feel like Binyam is worried because he might lose her because he's lost his firstborn mm-hmm. the same way to his previous marriage or previous relationship. So we'll have to keep an eye out for them. I will say some of Binyam's actions irritated me, but I loved that he called her mom to announce that the baby's here.
I know.
That made me so happy. So he has some redeeming qualities when he's not being a baby himself.
Yes, that's exactly it. I think like he, again, wasn't ready for a relationship. Like, I want to know, like, unfortunately, was this like a one-time fling that ended up, you know, resulting in a pregnancy?
And right.
Because of that, here we are. Like, I don't know. But like, yeah, I really, like, one, get a clue. Like, him and Michael from Happily Ever After. Like, I want to sit them both with the nurse and be like, can you explain to them, like, what, a, like, you know, about a woman's body? Because, you know, you can't, like, sit here and expect so much out of women, right? Like, Michael with Angela, hoping she's going to give birth at 60. And same for Baby, where he's just, like, has all these unrealistic expectations of Ari. And I'm not, like, Ari's also annoying in this whole, like, American goods are better, or just even with the car last time. Like, they're so, like, frustrating when they're together. Like, I think I like them separate, where I think they're okay people. But then when they're in a scene together, I'm like, oh, God, like, what is going on?
Yeah, the what is going on really, really is the big question I'm left with regards to the two of them. Because when I do think that there's part of me that thinks that neither of them were really prepared for this. Mm-hmm. I do think that Ari has been... is a little bit more coddled probably for her age than most people. I do think that she needs her mom there. So when she gets her mom, that'll be good. But also I completely recognize she's in a foreign country. She feels alone. And now she's going to have this baby. And she's left very unsure about the means to which they're able to raise this child because of the financial stuff and because of the living situation. So fully get that stuff. But that all I'm saying is that I don't think she was fully prepared for this. And I don't think he was fully prepared for this. So when it's just the two of them left to their own devices with a baby, I can see why they're both panicking in their own separate ways.
So, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's interesting because she's paying for everything. It looks like, at least that's what they said, I think, last episode. So that's why it's another, I think, layer of like, well, what are you doing? Like, how do you not have this stuff ready to go? You would have at least 9 months to prep.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I'm just very excited for when her family comes in.
Because
I think that's when the intrigue will be accelerated for me.
Yeah. And I think we see in the next time where they're going to talk about the circumcision, which I thought was fascinating because Ari's Jewish. We believe in circumcising, like it's a whole ceremony called a bris. So I'm also wanting to figure out like why she's so like against it, or is it that, you know, her parents aren't here and they want a rabbi, which they have in Ethiopia. So it's not like that isn't a thing. Like there's a whole Beta Israel, I believe, community in Israel. In Ethiopia, but it's fascinating because I was like, no, but this is something you should agree on. Like, why is that another problem?
Yes. I feel like, because my confusion too was like, wait, circumcision's good, right? But then also if she wants it done in the traditional manner, if she wants it done as a ceremony with family there, then she's delaying it. I guess I don't know exactly if there's I'm pretty sure there's no like time limit on when to do it. So it's fine. Obviously, the sooner.
He said 7 days. That was, I think, the problem.
So by his tradition, it's got to be 7 days.
Yeah, like, allegedly. And I was like, what? I don't think that's true.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think that obviously it's like the sooner it's done, like you're not like the person, baby, human is not going to, you know, feel it as hard or like remember it. Right. So I think that's the thing. But I feel like once her parents come in, that's when it's going to happen. I think she's going to pause. I don't think that's like a big fight. It's just her being hesitant to do it at that moment.
Yeah. Oh, and I just looked this up because I obviously don't have children. But yeah, apparently for Jewish families, the bris has to happen at the 8th day of the birth.
Oh,
so it's very close timing wise. So I'm confused.
Interesting. I did not know that there was a specific like day and time day that it was supposed to happen.
Yeah. Basically, it's saying on the 8th day, not even before, I guess on the 8th day. There's a lot of reasons, but anyway, that's not the point. But
okay,
it's just interesting. Jews really like, we love our like calendars, our times. We even have like when you're grieving, there's like a time for like complete grieving, then like a little bit less, and then a month, and then in a year you kind of need to like move on. Not move on, but hold their memory instead of be grieving in the same way.
So we're at the end here. Is there anything else you want to speak on about this whole episode before we move past?
No, I'm just excited, you know, for like, I think we're really getting a lot of them moving into a different season of their life, like not TV show season, but like their life seasons. Mm-hmm. So you kept saying this and I agree that I'm just so excited for the tell all because that's almost where I was like, no, that's the tea. Like that's where I'm going to get all the tea and I'm ready for it. And these are just kind of like filler moments for me.
Yeah, I do think so. It's like all a means to get to the tell all ultimately. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm excited for next week's episode for a couple of the segments we're going to get. Mainly, I want to see more about the Brittany Yazan stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see more about the Jenny and Sumit drama where his ex-wife is going to be demanding about $500 a month. So that's going to be a trip.
Oh my God. First of all, how are they good about dollars? Like my mom, we've lived in this country now 14 years, in America, 14 years, maybe a little bit more. I can't remember. Anyway, and to this day, my mom will still say, like, this costs this many rupees. And I have to be like, yo, we're in America. Like, can you please do the conversion for me? And she's like, oh, right, dollars. So how can Sumit do this? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm excited to find out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. These people are nuts. And I also want to say, sorry, that I don't believe that the parents need to approve the divorce. I think that's just Sumit being shady because... Again, I know many people that have gotten divorces in India and like you, it's just you. You just need your permission.
I see. Okay. Well then, yeah, I it goes back to, it's kind of similar to, if I could remember who I was about to use as an example from this very season.
Oh, Brittany and Yazan. Probably.
Yes. Yeah. Where it's, you're saying that this is a thing that needs to happen, but you're kind of delaying. Oh no, you know what? I was going to bring up Melisa. Kind of Melisa's vibe. Where it's like, I don't know. And it's like, well, you probably know, but you're kind of dragging it along. It's fine. It's fine.
Oh my God. That's so true.
Just anchoring it down with whatever you can.
Oh my God. Yes, that's probably it. You're right. I agree.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, that's all we had for The Other Way. I'll be honest. I haven't completed watching Strikes Back. Yeah, no Strikes Back corner this week. We'll be back with it next week, and I'll be caught up with it hopefully by then, especially because there's no Masked Singer for me to watch this week, so I have some time on my hands.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right. Well, Sasha, thank you so much for coming through here and talking about all this fun stuff with me today.
Thanks so much for having me. This is the best. This is so much fun.
Anytime. Where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter at funsize_04.
Perfect. And you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, twitch.tv. It's Puyaism for all three. I did a podcast with Ali Lasher and Akiva Winokur this week talking about New Girl season 1, episode 10 on their rewatch podcast called New Girl, Old Guy. So you can find that. It was a good time for me. I will be back talking about Big Brother this week. We're almost done. It's a week away. So we're chugging along there.
Hallelujah.
Oh yeah. I'm ready to move past to the next chapter. So you can find that. And of course I've been doing some shenanigans on my Twitch channel, playing Among Us with some familiar faces of the RHAP universe. You can find that over there. Now for today, the journey's over. We're at the destination. It's time to get off the Hot Mess Express. Until next time, take care. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.